Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, The Woman on the Beast. Today's message is based on Revelation chapter 17. So let us open with prayer. All glorious God, we give you thanks in your Son, Jesus Christ. You have given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You chose us before the world was made to be your holy people without fault in your sight. You adopted us as your children in Christ. You have set us free by his blood. You have forgiven our sins. You have made known to us your secret purpose to bring heaven and earth into unity in Christ. You have given us your Holy Spirit, the seal and pledge of our inheritance. So all praise and glory be yours, O God, for the richness of your grace, for the splendor of your gifts, for the wonder of your love. Amen. So now let us turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So it carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is and yet is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five had fallen, one is, the other not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for the 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind. They will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said to me, The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The ten horns which you saw in the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So as we now proceed to chapter 17, which is a continuation of 16, Revelation 16, verse 19 and 14-8 have already declared Babylon's fall. In Revelation 17 and 18, the fall of Babylon is carefully detailed. Now Babylon is mentioned 287 times in the scriptures, more than any other city except Jerusalem. Babylon was a literal city on the Euphrates River. In Genesis 11:1-10 shows that right after the flood, Babylon was the seat of the civilization that expressed organized hostility to God. Babylon, later the capital of the empire that cruelly conquered Judah. Babylon to the Jews was the essence of all evil, the embodiment of cruelty, the foe of God's people, the lasting type of sin, carnality, and lust and greed. To those familiar with the Old Testament, the name Babylon is associated with organized idolatry, blasphemy, and persecution of God's people. In John's day, Rome epitomized all the antagonism and opposition to the Christian faith, and in some ways the city of Rome was the clearest and the fulfillment of the Babylon attitude. If we had to pick one city today that most exemplifies the world system, perhaps we would say Los Angeles is the Babylon of today. The concept of Babylon is greater than Revelation 17 and 18, and of the Antichrist's reign. Babylon was present in John's day, typified by Rome in our day and throughout history as a world system, or as we saw today, the New World Order. But under the Antichrist, Babylon, in both its religious and commercial aspects, will have influence over the earth as never before. The great harlot, religious Babylon, is described by the angel. I see this as typified in our false teaching of the gospel in so many churches, and the ascent of the other lesser religions held by so many to be equal with Christianity. So we begin today with, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the judgments of the great harlot.'" Her judgment is assured at the outset. There is never any doubt regarding the fate and ultimate failure of Babylon. As a religious system, Babylon came into being long before Christianity, but in satanic imitation, it anticipated in the coming true Messiah. According to religious history and legend, the Babylonian religion was founded by the wife of Nimrod, the great grandson of Noah, named Semiramis. She was a high priestess of idol worship. She gave birth to a son who she claimed was conceived miraculously. The son, named Tammuz, was considered a savior, and many ancient artifacts remain with the familiar motif of the mother Semiramis holding the savior infant Tammuz, which predate Christianity. It is also said that Tammuz was killed by a wild beast, then miraculously brought back to life. Now, Baal was the local Canaanite name for the Babylonian Tammuz. The Bible makes a specific mention of some of the features of the classic religion of Babylon. Ezekiel protests against the ceremony of weeping for Tammuz in Ezekiel 8:14. Jeremiah mentions the heathen practice of making cakes for the Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah 7:18, and offering incense to the Queen of Heaven in Jeremiah 44:17 and 44:25, as well as in many other places, and this concept continues into this day. Then we go with who sets on many waters. Well, here Babylon sets on many waters, that is, she presides over many nations, and compare this with Revelation 17:15. She has a universal international character. This is unification of all false, idolatrous religions with representatives from apostate Catholicism, Protestantism, as well as a smorgasbord of other religions of the world. The woman pictured false religion that will dominate the world in the tribulation period. Now, many people like to identify this great harlot with the Roman Catholic Church, but false religion is not limited to any one church. That Roman and the Romanish system are involved may readily be admitted, but that this is all, and that the sudden fall of the great Babylon is simply the fall of Romanism or the utter destruction of the city of Rome must be emphatically denied. What we are seeing here named Babylon is not any specific city, but rather a concept that opposes right worship of God and will influence the greater part of the world. Then we go to the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk. Religious Babylon intoxicates kings and peoples. Karl Marx was partly right when he said religion is the opiate of the masses. He was partly right because empty religion is the opium of the masses. The idea of fornication has often strong associations throughout the Bible with idolatry. And since this is a well-accepted religious system, it is likely to appear as attractive and spiritual, though not necessarily moral. We live today in a society that openly promotes sin as good, denying any sense of morality from a biblical sense. We are in essence today living in Babylon. And going now to verses 3 through 6, so he, the angel, carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of names of blasphemy. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with precious stones and pearls. John is carried away into the wilderness. The desolate nature of the wilderness is an appropriate setting for a vision of judgment, as many prophets and even Jesus retreated to the wilderness to find God. The harlot rides the same beast with seven heads and ten horns that was previously seen in Revelation 13. This is the Antichrist and his dictatorship. Her position, that of riding the beast, indicates that on one hand, she is supported by the political power of the beast, and on the other, that she is in a dominant role and at least outwardly controls and directs the beast. Her association with blasphemy and the dragon's beast are clearly seen from God's perspective. But to the people of the earth, she will look quite religious. She will have the faith that everybody wants. Now the woman is clothed with emblems of luxury, purple, gold, precious stones, and government, scarlet. Yet she offers idolatry and abominations, impurities and filthiness of her fornication in this sumptuous setting. Purple and scarlet were colors of splendor and magnificence. The dyes to make these fabrics were rare and costly. And we find in the course of church history that one of the deadliest marks of the ecclesiastical corruption is the lust for temporal power. People in scarlet were the colors of rulers, whether economic or political. Now the name on her forehead identifies her more ways than one. Roman prostitutes frequently wore a headband with their name engraved on it. In spite of all her glamour, she is nothing but a prostitute. She appears to most as something she is not, for her methods are simply to satisfy lust and passion to gain favor. There's a stark contrast between the woman of Revelation 12 representing Israel, God's people, and this woman representing adulterous false religion. These two women, thus related, are set over one against the other as opposites and rivals, and they must necessarily be interpreted in the same way. As Antichrist corresponds to Christ as a rival and an antagonist of Christ, so Great Babylon corresponds to the woman that bears the man-child as her rival and antagonist. Now this title is not for literal Babylon, but its spiritual mystery representation, which is the source or mother of all idolatry or abominations and spiritual adultery or harlots. This harlot must be larger than any one branch of the religious institution. She is the embodiment of Satan's own ecumenical movement, the religion of the one world system. Our world, strong with philosophy that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe, is prepared for the harlot seduction. We see the casual disregard for the truth crippling the church today. And then drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, the woman not only persecutes, she also revels in her persecution of the godly as a drunk revels in wine. John was amazed because this wasn't pagan persecution such as he knew in his day, but religious error and persecution. This is a pseudo-church, thirsty for the blood of the saints. False religion is always the worst enemy of true religion. We have witnessed the great evil founded on faith in Northern Ireland and the violence there, the persecutions based on religion that drove the pilgrims to North America, and the continuing violence in the Middle East. Now going to verse 7, the angel said to me, "Why did I marvel? I will tell you the mystery." Now the focus of the explanation is on the beast. It appeared that the harlot ruled or rode the Antichrist system, but he is the dynamic factor, using her as tyrants have always used religion, as a mere tool to accomplish their purposes. Now the beast carries the woman is plainly connected to the beast of Revelation 13. Now we have the beast that you saw and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. The one seed of beast that was, is not, and yet again. Remember, one of the heads was mortally wounded, but lived again. But then the seven heads are seven mountains. Now, many quickly associate the seven mountains with Rome and the papacy because Rome is well known as a city on seven hills. Yet literally, the Greek word means mountain, not hill. Many commentators, especially those who see all of Revelation fulfilled in history, regard the seven mountains as an irrefutable connection with Rome. This verse has always been almost universally considered to allude to the seven hills upon which Rome originally stood. But in the Bible, mountains are sometimes a figure of government, such as we see in Daniel 2:35. And the city of Rome, again, is built on hills, not mountains. It is probably better to see the seven mountains as representing the seven kings and kingdoms described in Revelation 17:10. Many people find the connection between religious Babylon and Roman Catholicism irresistible, yet it is flawed in the sense that there is no doubt that religious Babylon will incorporate a strong Roman Catholic element, but it will be much bigger than Roman Catholicism. Tendencies for Roman Catholicism's ultimate partnership with a one-world religion were evident in Pope John Paul II's bizarre involvement with and approval of other anti-Christian religions. In addressing a prayer gathering of Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, and others, Pope John Paul II told participants that their efforts were unleashing profound spiritual energies in the world and bringing about a new climate of peace. The Pope pledged that the Catholic Church intends to share in and promote such ecumenical and interreligious cooperation. The Catholic Review commented on this and said, "The unity of religion promoted by the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, and approved by His Holiness the Dalai Lama, is not a goal to be achieved immediately. But a day may come when the love and compassion which both Buddha and Christ preach so eloquently will unite the world in a common effort to save humanity from senseless destruction and lead toward the light in which we all believe." Now going to verse 10, there are also seven kings, five have fallen, one is, another has yet to come, but he will continue but a short time. This is one of the more difficult passages in the book of Revelation. Some explain these seven kings, five past, one present, and one to come, in the succession of Roman emperors in John's era. But there have been many historical difficulties with the approach. More likely, it's a reference to five who have fallen refers to five world empires of John's day: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. One is referred to the world empire of John's day, Rome. The other, not yet come, refers to the one world empire to come, a sort of revival of the Roman Empire. The seventh will quickly be taken over by an eighth. It will become the state of the Antichrist, from Revelation 17:11. And there are problems with this viewpoint as well. So some have taken the seven as symbolic. This is plainly a difficult passage. In the next verse, the beast that was, is not, is himself also the eighth and one of the seven, is going to perdition. He is one of the seven in the sense he shares characteristics with all previous world empires, but his fate is clear. Perdition means destruction, and the beast will be destroyed. Now, 10 of the kings have received no kingdom as yet. This probably alludes to a 10-nation confederation, as in the toes of Daniel in chapter 2, 24 through 45 in his image. But some take 10 as a symbolic number. There are 10 kingdoms which shall arise out of the fourth great kingdom there, like 10 European powers, which in the last time, in concert with and subjection to the Antichrist power, shall make war against Christ. In the precise number and form here indicated, they have not yet arisen. What changes in Europe may bring them into the required tail and form, it is not for us to say. Many have seen the European Union, formerly the European Economic Community, as the potential fulfillment of this. Perhaps, but now there are more than 10 nations in this revised European power and more on the way. There's little doubt that the EU itself claims to be a successor to the ancient Roman Empire. The EEC started in 1957 when six European nations met to talk about combining their nuclear, coal, and economic resources. They met together in Rome and signed the Treaty of Rome, the beginning of the present EU. In many places in Europe, the EU flag is just as prominent as any national flag. In the precise number and form here indicated, they have not yet arisen. What changes in Europe may bring them into the required tail and form, it is not easily understood. But it will happen, and this confederation of nations will emerge as an heir to the ancient Roman Empire. That these are of one mind, they will give their power and authority to the beast. Whatever their exact identity, their actions are clear. They join with the Antichrist in the war against Christ, in the battle alluded to in the sixth and seventh bowls from Revelation 16. The waters which you saw where the harlot sits. The harlot presides over peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. This tells us that the harlot's influence is worldwide through her connection to the beast. This will be a truly one world religion. The interpretation of the harlot focuses on her relation to the beast. She is utterly connected to the beast and his government. If this sounds unthinkable, remember that throughout history, religion, not true Christianity, has often been the willing servant and supporter of tyrants. And then in verse 16, the ten powers that have come, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. This violence probably takes place at the midpoint of the tribulation period. Here, apostate religion discovers the true nature of the beast. Ultimately, the Antichrist will not tolerate any worship except of himself. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's what from Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. Once his power has been consolidated, the Antichrist no longer needs the help of religious Babylon. He will then work to dismantle and destroy her and her one world religion. This has always been the goal of tyrants and most politicians, to use religion for their purposes and then discard it. Now we conclude this chapter with, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, to give the kingdom, their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. God directed the judgment against religious Babylon. God will sometimes use a wicked group, and here 10 kings, to be an instrument of his judgment against another wicked group, and here religious Babylon. God will ordain the political support of these 10 kings for the Antichrist. God will give the world just what it wants, godless religion and godless rulers. And then we have that great city. In John's day, there was no doubt which city reigns over the kings of the earth. Rome was the political, economic, and religious center of the world at that time. Babylon, in the sense of the world system, has always been that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The question for Christians is, does it reign over me? Or am I a citizen of a better city, the Jerusalem above? As Paul told the early Christians in Galatians 4:26, again, the association of this harlot of religious Babylon with Rome doesn't mean that the Roman Catholic Church is identical to religious Babylon, though apostate Roman Catholics will identify to be a part of this great harlot. It is most direct in paganism, but it is in the Muslim organizations, in papalism, and in degenerate Eastern churches, and in all the heretics, infidelities, and mere goodishness which affect our Protestant Christianity as well. Our gospel of social justice and the God is love fetish found much in Christianity. Today, which city of the world is more readily identified with the world system? Is it Hollywood, Wall Street, Washington, or Geneva? That these things will occur is certain. Just when. This was written that we may find the opportunity to get our house in order before it is too late. Is your house in order? Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Go out into the world in peace and have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Help the suffering. Honor all. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you. Remain with you forever. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
Yeah.